Thank you. Good morning. It is good to see you this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day, and to have some longtime friends here. You know, it may seem a little odd to you that I would introduce visitors since I'm still almost kind of one myself. I'm trying to learn all your names. But Pastor Marcus and Sarah LeBaron and their children here with us today, just such a privilege. And Marcus served on staff with me at Nampa First Church and known him a long time. God has used them in marvelous ways, and now they're involved in family and children's ministry in Oroville Church in Tucson area, and here visiting family, but just welcome. And anyone else that is a visitor this morning, we welcome you too. I may just not know you're a visitor, because still about half of everybody looks like a visitor to me so far, so I'm still working on that. I'm going to continue in our sermon series that I began last Sunday, Getting Ready for God's Next. And the theme of the message this morning is the power of love. Our scripture is found in Colossians, and we're going to read two passages, one in Colossians chapter 1 and then in Colossians chapter 4. So I invite you to turn with me, Colossians chapter 1, and if you're willing and able, I invite you to stand as we read God's Word. Colossians 1, beginning with verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. And then over to chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Thank God for His Word. You may be seated. This morning I want to focus on two of the characteristics of healthy churches that I shared with you last Sunday. The eight characteristics that were identified by the research done by Natural Church Development. The two that I want to focus on this morning are need-oriented evangelism and loving relationships. And I think they are different, and yet they really do go hand in hand. Need-oriented evangelism, it is that intentional reaching seekers and non-believers right where they live, responding to or sharing resources or experiences to help meet needs as God gives us the opportunity. Need-oriented evangelism. And then the other, loving relationships. It is at the heart of what Jesus said when he said, they'll know that you are my disciples by your love. Building deep relationships with one another, walking together with one another, and truly sharing life together. Loving relationships. Out of our scripture, I want you to notice first, love's desire. Love's desire. In chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, these words, Paul's saying to them, I commend you for, I've heard about, it's been testified to me, the love you have for all the saints. So this love, he says, that springs up from the hope that you have, that's already held in place for you in heaven, this hope that you have in Christ Jesus, your faith and love, this deep desire of love in your lives, a desire to be filled with love and to live love. When I first was looking at that and I wrote that phrase down, love's desire, immediately came to mind an older gospel song. I have one deep, supreme desire that I may be like Jesus. To this I fervently aspire, that I may be like Jesus. I want my heart his throne to be, so that a watching world may see his likeness shining forth in me. I want to be like Jesus. A desire to be filled with love and to live a life of love. This love's desire, so many places that we could look, but Luke has recorded for us in the gospel, in Luke chapter 15, three stories that Jesus tells about love's desire. In Luke chapter 15, we have the story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and the story of the lost son. It is a story of the hope that we have in the gospel that has already been stored up for us. The hope that we have in the gospel. It is the hope that we have in God's redeeming love and a grace that will find the lost. God's desire to find the lost. God's love in us that creates a desire to find the lost. It's at the heart of what we talk about, when we talk about the optimism of grace, that we do truly believe that God's Spirit as it is at work in the life of everyone, and that God is seeking to find the lost, everyone, and that we believe that when the lost are found, they can be redeemed. They can be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Love's desire. Then notice love's display in verse 6. Paul says, all over the world. It's been testified all over the world. Jesus' followers and you, the church in Colossae, all over the world we hear about your faith and your love that is bearing fruit and growing. It is evangelism, reaching the lost, and discipling, nurturing, and developing in a healthy environment. So I wondered as I thought about this, what if the Apostle Paul, I don't know, Pastor Bob, you didn't happen to see him at Mars Hill last week, did you? No, he didn't. Good. That's good. I'm glad you didn't. If the Apostle Paul could come and give a report on Nampo Bethel Church of the Nazarene, what would he see? What would his report be on this matter of need-oriented evangelism, a concentration and commitment to seeking the lost. I looked around. I thought about a few things. We were introduced to one this morning. Safe Families. Did you notice that on the screen one of the lines that we have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus in families at their greatest need? It is an opportunity that Bethel Church of the Nazarene has to reach out and be available to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be able to share with people at the moment of their greatest need. I think about Celebrate Recovery as part of your ministry here. CR talks about the reaching people at the place of their habits or hurts or hang-ups, a place where people, when that moment of deep need is sensed and felt and known, that there is a place they can come and be loved and accepted and brought together and introduced, if they do not know Jesus as personal Savior, to be introduced to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be introduced to Jesus. Opportunities. I've watched, I've looked around the church. I've walked down the hallway. I see there's a place where you from time to time come and bring donations for Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ. I think some of you are involved in Love, Inc., and what an opportunity. What an opportunity for need-oriented evangelism, that is, being able to help people at the point of their need and sharing the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. My wife, Carol, has been a budget counselor for Love, Inc. for over 18 years. Every year has opportunity to invest in the life of someone, or sometimes she has two at a different ones at a time. They come because of financial crises or financial issues in their life, trying to make their way, trying to learn how to live on a budget, even to make a budget, to how to be able to get by from day to day financially. That's the need. And yet in the midst of it, just being able to share the love of Jesus, the care of Jesus for them. Just recently, Nampa Bethel Church adopted some public schools, and there are opportunities that as a church family you have to just love some kids for Jesus' sake. There are no doubt many, many more, but we need to think about love's display. Love's display. How would the world look at us and see love? And also loving relationships, that place where people can truly feel safe to journey together with someone else. Then notice love's determination. Love's determination. Paul says this has all happened. You have been committed to this since the day, verses 6 through 8, since the day you heard about it and understood God's grace. Love's determination. And again, we turn back to the stories that Luke shares for us out of Jesus' own preaching and teaching in Luke chapter 15. We see love's determination. The determination of the shepherd to go out and find the one lost sheep. The determination of the lady that is so desperate to find this coin that is of such value, such importance, and the determination of a father to go out every day and stand at the roadside and look out to the horizon and wait and look and long loves determination. Then we notice love's discernment. We're going to go to chapter 4 now. Paul says, chapter 4, verse 5, love's discernment. It says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Now, Paul practiced what he preached. He's a wonderful model. We have one of those experiences recorded for us in Acts chapter 17. Here's Paul in Athens. He's waiting. He's waiting on his traveling companions. He's in one of those in-between times. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, often our opportunities come in the in-between times. Paul sees the city, he sees what's happening, and he responds. And it is a wonderful model. Notice, first of all, in verse 16, Acts 17, verse 16, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. He was concerned instead of complacent. It was not just of, well, here I am in between, I'm waiting for everyone, I'm on my way to Corinth. Well, I mean, that had to have somewhat been on his mind. If you read the story, he's coming from Berea. You know, Berea, the really good folks that studied the Word of God every day to check out, to make sure what the truth of God was. He's going from Berea to Corinth, and you've read Corinthians, I assume, so. Okay, a couple of people are smiling. You get the joke. I know a lot of pastors. When I was DS, a lot of pastors would want to go to Berea First Church. Not very many were signing up for Corinth First Church. So he's in this in-between time, and he looks around, and he sees a city filled with idols, and he's concerned, not complacent. Do our hearts break for the things that break the heart of God? Then verse 18, he was concise and not confused, preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Now, Paul was an educated man. Paul could have come into their midst and started arguing with them about different philosophies, and he could have focused on lots of different kind of things, but he just stayed true to the message. He was concise in what he wanted to testify about, preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. I just remind us today, don't get sidetracked. There's so many things. I know when we look at our world, there's so many things that could get our attention, and we could fuss about this or that, but be ready to share the simple and clear message of the gospel of Jesus. Verse 22, I see that in every way you are very religious. He was courteous instead of condemning. I see that in every way you're very religious. He complimented them. It is interesting, if you read polls like Gallup poll, that in spite of the fact that in America, and we do believe, America needs revival. But in spite of the fact that we see a lessening all the time of interest in the Christian faith and in the church, there is still, when polling is done in America, there is still a very strong, deep interest in spirituality. May we be the ones that can come to them and introduce them to the one that will fill those longings. So he was courteous instead of condemning. And I know, you know, some of you may be saying, so we're supposed to focus on need-oriented evangelism and loving relationships. Are you saying that we're supposed to just tolerate and accept everything? No. No. That we don't take a stand? Not saying that. What I'm suggesting is we do what the Apostle Paul did. we focus on, verse 23, Christ instead of culture. He says to them, what you worship is something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. You're very religious. That's good. You talk a lot about religion and philosophy. That's good. I see you even have a tomb to the unknown God. Let me introduce you to him. He is Jesus, and he is the risen one, Christ instead of culture. So we see love's discernment, and then notice love's draw. Love's draw. Verse 6 in chapter 4, sorry. Verse 6, let your conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt. Know how to answer everyone. Seasoned, your conversation seasoned with salt. Salt that gives food its zest, brings out the flavor, is attractive, interesting, brings out other flavors. Every once in a while, not too often, my wife is an amazing cook. Every once in a while, she will sit down and take a bite of the food and go, oh, I forgot the salt. Now notice, I didn't say you forgot the salt. Because the reality is that her cooking without salt is a lot better than mine with salt. But you just notice it. You just notice it right away. Right? In our conversation. Seasoned with salt. In need-oriented evangelism, our opportunities that we have to share in the place of people that have need, it is seasoned with grace. We offer friendship and caring and kindness. In building loving relationships, we listen with grace so that we may know how to answer. Listen to this quote. I want to take time to share. It's a little longer quote than I would usually give, but from Dietrich Bonhoeffer out of his book, Life Together. Many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not find it among Christians because these Christians are talking when they should be listening. But one who can no longer listen to their brother or sister will soon no longer be listening to God either. They will be doing nothing but prattle in the presence of God. Sin demands to have a person by themselves. It withdraws them from the community. The more isolated a person is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over them, and the more deeply they become involved. Loving relationships, listening. And in response to the question of, are we not supposed to challenge? Are we not supposed to ever, we tolerate everything, we don't take a stand? No. Listen to what Bonhoeffer says just a little bit further down. Nothing can be more cruel than the tenderness that consigns another person to their sin. Nothing can be more compassionate than the severe rebuke that calls a brother or sister back from the path of sin. If a Christian is in the fellowship of confession with a brother or sister, they will never be alone again. Loving relationships, but in the midst of listening and our conversation being seasoned with salt. Paul is commending this church for their faith and love that is growing and bearing fruit. Hear the words that of John Wesley that he wrote and he often would preach to his preachers and others that were in the bands and the class meetings. Quote, if you look for anything more than love, you are looking wide of the mark. You are getting out of the royal way. And when you are asking others, have you received this or that blessing? If you mean anything but more love, you mean wrong. You are leading them out of the way and putting them on a false scent. Settle it then in your heart that from the moment God has saved you from all sin, you will aim at nothing more but more of the love described in 1 Corinthians 13. You can go no higher than this till you are carried in Abraham's bosom. The power of love. So as we reflect on Paul's message to us and apply it in our lives, I ask just a few questions. Are there people in our weekly contacts that we're influencing with the winsome love of the gospel of Christ? Does our church, does Nampa Bethel Church of the Nazarene, offer opportunities for true loving relationships? What could we do to see that kind of ministry expand? Perhaps we should compare our lives to 1 Corinthians 13. If you've never done it, try it. Read the love passage, and everywhere you see the word love, just put your first name in. See if it rings true. Ask yourself, would others say it rings true? And then just come before God and say, search our hearts. Are we seeking the fullness of God's love in our lives? The cleansing, sanctifying, empowering work of the Holy Spirit. The power of love. Would you bow your heads? Lord, would you take the words that the Apostle Paul so long ago wrote to both encourage and to challenge these Christians, and by the whole power of your Spirit, would you minister the message, the truth of the message to our hearts that we should hear this day. Lord, we open up our hearts. To your Spirit, and ask that you would speak. Worship team is going to lead us in a song.